Welcome to Primary Attribute, or Castles and Crusades actual play podcast. My name is Ian. I'm the Castle Keeper, or Game Master, as known in a lot of other systems, and I use they/them pronouns.
Hey, my name's Adam. My play is Vons, and we use the he/him pronouns. And our Vons is—they're the furry little fox folk alchemist buddies. One of them's an alchemist. The other one's just kind of hanging out right now, being cool, saying hi to people, maybe like. Checking some windows and doors, seeing if there's like any blatant security vulnerability for no real reason. Just like, you know, that kind of entertains them. The other one's making glue.
I'm Jesse. I'm Aaron. I'm Aaron. I play Jesse Sweetbone Phelps, the Fafork.
Fafork?
I'm Aaron. I play Jesse Sweetbone Phelps, the half-orc ranger. We both use they/she pronouns. Jesse's getting her family the fuck out of here.
I'm Kelly. I play Wealthy Taylor. I'm currently melded with Sidroa, so we are known as Weldroa. My pronouns are they, them, and, well, it's well drawable. We'll take any pronouns you throw at them. I'm going to go talk to somebody.
And I'm Wit. I play Grix, the kobold illusionist / mechanic, and Steamboat Willie, the kobold college student / pilot. We all use he, him pronouns. And Grix is just hanging out and having a good time at the end of the world. And Steamboat Willie is just like Anna Paquin in the 1996 film Fly Away Home, building a glider.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I liked that movie. That no one movie. Remembers that movie.
It's such a sweet movie.
It's a really sweet movie. I like the geese.
That 80s movie, Radio Flyer.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Ooh, and, the New Zealand film.
The what? Oh, no. The piano.
Oh, no. No. No.
No.
Did somebody make glider a in the glider piano? In the piano?
No, there's no
No. No.
Although that would be awesome. I want to hear it land.
I was thinking Anna Paquin, so.
Okay. I'm going to have to find this out, and I'll tune in later, and I'll let you all know.
Okay. If you get a chance, you should review us on our podcast platform of choice. You can tell us which movies you like that feature gliders. Besides informing us of new and interesting things, it helps people find us, makes us feel good about what we do. You should do it for every other podcast you listen to as well. Yes, including the glider parts. Confusing.
Yeah, go tell Joe Rogan about movies with gliders.
Oh, don't do that. No.
Well, I couldn't come up with another, I guess, Ira Glass. Go tell Ira Glass about movies with gliders.
Sure. I bet Ira Glass would love to know about movies with gliders. I'm going to do the recap, yes, such as it is. There wasn't that much that happened the last time that we were canonical, which was a while ago. Really a while ago. Like, truly a month ago, I think.
Month and a half. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. So, we had gotten back from the core, and we went to a big meeting with all of the council and overseers, big old list of people that we have met one time and have now met two times. We all decided where to land, given the options available to us, and we ultimately decided to set down where we had come from, basically go back in the hole. In the meantime, until we can get back down into the hole, we're going to build a shield around the arcs using some of the equipment that we found in the core and around the core so that the Shadow Corruption can't attack us as easily, and to give the people who have been on a constant guardian duty outside a bit of a break. We'll also be able to use that shield once we're landed to keep the corruption away from us for some period of time as well. We all have a little bit of downtime while all of that is prepared. So we're all breaking up to do the following things. Jesse is evacuating their family to the valley using Squirrelo and the power of friendship. Steamboat Willie is building a new glider after his was busted up outside. Cool Vons is wandering around with Steamboat Willie. Weldroa is going to talk to the magic shop guy in the Gemwood and maybe also a witch about her body. Grix is just gonna go on a real friend's journey, talk to people he hasn't talked to in a while, probably. And regular Vons is making glue because he figured that everybody will need glue if we're about to land and maybe have a crash landing. So he's making glue, a lot of glue. And that's where we're all at. And I hope that was coherent, because it really has been so long since we did a canonical episode.
Yeah, all right. So you all have probably 2 months-ish, plus or minus a few weeks, depending on how long it takes them to put all the shield stuff together. But, well, you guys will be contributing to that on and off. They're not all going to be waiting for you to be their escort mission out and back, because then it would take forever. And plus, no one likes that many escort missions in a row. So, interleaved with that is doing all of these things that you want to do. We are going to start with Wealthy.
Uh-huh.
You find yourself in the Gemwood, the posh part of town. Giant gems built into the, well, that grew, presumably, in the cavern ceiling let in a little light outside. You guys are stuck in the clouds forever now, so that's not great in terms of, you know, giving that nice glowing ambiance. People around you are snooty, but you are wandering around in full armor, so they're also partially aghast, because who the fuck is this person?
Who the hell wanders around in full armor? Somebody who doesn't want to be recognized as a weirdo.
Yeah, specifically goo monsters. Everyone knows only goo monsters wear full armor. But yeah, so you're going to go to Elegant Enchantments. It's a fancy store built into a big fancy tree that has been grown on the interior into a store, like the tables are part of the wood. It's complicated, it seems. And staffed by, of course, the ultimate kind of wizard, one in a white robe with a long white beard.
And
he looks very wizardy.
What the wizard's name is again, and their pronouns?
Excuse me while I go to my notes, because I have the entire thing written down.
Yeah.
And clearly I must read the entire thing.
This person has a really long name, and I just want their first.
Too bad. Does require and be able to. There we go.
You're assuming you're on a first name basis, too. That's...
I'm a pretty advanced wizard. I'm an 11. I'm level 11 now, so...
Yeah, you cast at 9. And they can all smell it. There we go. Okay. Their first name is Xandrius.
Xandrius.
Their full name is Xandrius Isolden Zaktru Zin Yolandus III.
Oh my god. Xandrius. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
And their pronouns?
He, him.
He, him. Okay.
Are they the sort that takes it as an offense if you forget any of it?
No. Honestly, as a store owner, they're probably amazed you remember their name at all.
Okay, I'm going to clank into the... I mean, I'm clanking because, you know... I'm going to clank it on into the...
Slopping?
I'm not slopping. I mean, I'm clanking.
Oh, you're having an armor right now, yeah.
Yeah, I'm in armor, so I'm going to clank on into the store.
The slopping is contained inside.
Yes.
It's more of a sloshing.
It's like that sound when I make a turn, the half-full big bottle of washer fluid in my trunk.
Oh, yeah.
It's that sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of sloshy.
Oh no, Wit's very familiar with this sound.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Danger noise.
It's quite specific.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna clank on in and walk up to the counter and put my wand down and how much cash do I have? I don't know because I'm not looking. I don't have my thing open.
I was gonna say that was a question between you and your inventory.
And how much did it cost to do each level of, I think last time it cost 250?
That sounds right.
Damn it.
You might cut you a slight discount because I reread the rules and he's still going to charge you through the nose, but...
What I would, one of the things that I wanted to do is say, so I'm going to introduce myself again as Wealthy Taylor, and hi, Xandrius. You may not remember me. I am Wealthy Taylor. I was in here earlier, a few weeks ago, and I had you recharge this wand with magic missile, and I bought some honey too.
Yes, I remember you, and you used to be shorter and not covered in armor.
Yeah, well, some things have changed, and, I just, it's a lot less, and it's just better that I wear the armor and cover myself up. Anyway, so I'm here, and I'd like to put another six charges on this thing, and I was wondering if you could teach me how to put charges on it.
If you were to say put your spellcasting abilities, give them some sort of numerical value based on the standard scale we all use at the university, what would you say they are?
Oh God, like I can remember that shit.
It's your level.
What's your character level?
My character level is 11. Is 11, right?
Yes, but you cast as a level 9 wizard right now.
Okay. Why am I casting as 11
level? Because you lost your body.
Okay. I'm a level 11 wizard, but due to circumstances, I'm only casting at a level 9.
That's absolutely how you'd say it.
Oh, yes, performance issues.
Slosh casual.
Yeah. Well, so the trick with wands is that generally they only like to be recharged by their creators.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I charge a premium is to overcome that.
And how do you...
However, generally one cannot make a wand until they are level 12.
Oh, great. that's great. Because it'll be another year before I'm a level 12. Unless a lot of stuff happens. So I guess I'll have to come back when I'm a level 12. Damn it. And maybe when I've found my body again, that'll help a lot. If I'm only casting at level 9. Okay.
First off, I'm going to follow up on that. Second off, it will be significantly easier to refill a wand you make yourself. So I would actually recommend doing that once you achieve the required ability level.
Okay, I'll do that.
Second, once you find your body.
Oh, God. Yeah, I didn't mean to let that slip. I lift the visor of my helmet, and it's just black goo. React. Huh.
Lab accident?
Beg pardon?
Lab accident, new spell?
No. Misadventure with a large corrupted being who I basically told to come at me, dude. And he came at me, and I ended up being squashed, and the goo monster Sidroa, who was living in my body, decided to take my spirit when it left my body as it was being squished. And then we're walking around with a skeleton that we borrowed. Well, we didn't borrow it. Anyway. So we're walking around with that way, and now now I don't know where my body is, because when we went back to look at it being squished, it wasn't there anymore. So we're assuming it's no longer squished and that somebody has it, but we don't know who, because there was a dream.
Well, we scryed on it.
Yeah, we scryed on it, but we don't know who it is, and there was a dream, and possibly there's somebody else using my body, and it has all the knowledge it needs to do the magic that I know how to do, so it could be doing horrible, awful things right now, or it could be, like a superhero. We don't know.
Cool. Wealthy, make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. So
there's 100% a support group on campus for this. Like, for this exact thing. Like, there's only 6 people in there, but, like, yeah. That's more than you'd expect.
All right, so saving throws.
They're just ability checks, unless you happen to have a bonus specifically for saves.
It's a 9 on the die.
All right. You realize as you finish talking that you have been unable to move.
Oh, shit.
For the last...
Unable to move my feet, or unable to move at all?
All of you can breathe.
Okay. Well, I don't need...
You can talk, apparently.
I don't need to breathe, so...
And you're aware, so congratulations.
Congratulations. Did you do this to me?
Yes, because you said you became a black goo monster after getting into contact with a large corrupted creature.
No.
Yes, that is what you said.
Okay. Okay. No, I didn't become a goo monster. I had a goo monster in me at the time that the corrupted creature stomped on me. The goo monster left my body as it was being stomped on and took my spirit with it. I had the goo monster in me for a good 5 or 6 months. We've been into another dimension and back. Wow. There's whole bunches of stuff that's been going on. Sidroa, would you like to speak to Xandrius?
No.
You hear inside your head and not verbally. It is funnier if I do not.
Oh, now you're a comedian?
Now you care what I think.
Oh, they've always been a comedian.
I always care what you think. You're always welcome to put to. Okay, never mind. We're not going to argue about this right now. Xandrius,
he's not even an authority figure.
What? Oh, shut up. Anyway, oh God, Xandrius, I am not corrupted. Sidroa is being an asshole. And, are you going to let me go free?
Tell me you'll stop complaining about being a goo monster.
I'm not complaining about being a goo monster. I'm just a goo monster. It's a matter of fact.
You yell about being a goo monster frequently.
All right, I will stop complaining about being a goo monster. I don't mind being a goo monster. I talk about being a halfling all the time.
Are you saying that those two things are equivalent in some way?
No, I talk about what my current circumstance is.
Interesting.
You just seem more upset about it when it comes to our situation.
I appreciate being a goo monster because you saved me from death. I would like to have my body back because I don't know what it's doing right now. And I would like to prevent it from being villainous to the point where I can't take my body back because everybody will hate me. Because I've done so many horrible things, even though it wasn't me, it was my body. But everybody associates my body with being a horrible villain.
That would be poor branding.
It would be very poor branding. I would very much like to avoid that.
All right. Now, verbally, you hear, Xandrius, I am Sidroa. I am the goo monster in question.
To be honest, you've never told me what you are.
What kind of monster you are?
No, what you are. I go with goo monster because you did take me. I did get you from what I consider a goo monster. You've never corrected me on that.
How much of this are you verbalizing out loud?
Goo was involved.
Goo was involved. I'm not verbalizing it. I'm talking to him to Sidroa in my head.
Okay. Sidroa gives a brief explanation to Xandrius of the circumstances of your meeting and the yoinking of your soul as the emergency escape hatch to being stomped into tiny pieces. Xandrius still looks extremely suspicious.
I don't blame you, dude, because that's why I'm walking around in armor, because I don't want people looking at me like you're looking at me right now. My friends look at me like you're looking at me right now sometimes. And they were looking at me like that when I was walking around with another skeleton. Doing a centaur thing. Don't ask me.
The hold person spell is dismissed.
Oh, thank goodness.
After that?
Yeah, the centaur for thing. Real.
Well, I think Xandrius is pretty sure at this point that Wealthy is not corrupted.
She's just crazy.
So the immediate threat is not there.
She talks way more than is possible to talk.
Exactly.
As a corrupted thing.
And also the quote-unquote corruption also spoke, so presumably.
Yeah.
None of this would check out as some near corrupted thing. Probably. And at some point the spell was going to wear off anyway. So, you know.
Well, if the spell had worn off, I wouldn't have done anything. I just moved around a little bit.
Yeah, I figured.
Anyway. The other thing that I was going to ask you about is whether or not you are or know, whether or not you are a necromancer or you know of a witch who is rumored to be one. And if you could direct me in that person's direction. I know that was a little bit off-putting as a question, but because necromancy, you know, nobody likes really likes to talk about it, but I know
it's a perfectly valid field of study.
Yeah, but you know.
That was my number two choice in character.
Say, no, Wealthy, I don't know. Why don't you unpack for me what you find distasteful?
I don't magic shame.
I'm not magic shaming.
Yes, you are, actually.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that there are perceptions that I do not hold about people who study necromancy. It's a little bit
icky.
It can be a little bit icky given its reputation, which I do not think is terribly deserved, especially considering I am in dire need of a necromancer.
Wow. Okay.
I lay it out there on the line, okay? I need a necromancer. I think necromancy is really, really cool.
At this point, I don't believe you. I feel like you're overcompensating for the magic version of I'm not racist, but...
Steve Buscemi with two skateboards.
The skateboards are made of skeletons.
Yes, they are.
And he's the creature he played in Monsters, Inc.
An important question, although I realize it may not seem relevant, is do you like to party?
Oh, God. Well, my idea of a good time is fighting off bread that's trying to kill me, so... Yeah, I party!
All right. I know a few people, but one of them would be probably the best option given your current circumstance, and the most likely to be cool with any other times you stick your foot down your throat.
I have never had foot and mouth disease.
Sure, that's what I meant. Her name is Lucinda.
Lucinda.
She spends most of her time in the Warrens.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask around any place that has alcohol and loud music.
So not Nara's place, because hers is really fancy, so I need to find probably the one that Photios works at. I can't remember. Okay, I will start asking around in the Warrens. It's not like I don't spend time there.
All right, I will have your wand recharged for you tomorrow. Thankfully, I have not spent much of my spellcasting ability today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm going to go clanking out of the store. I'll be back tomorrow.
God, that just
and I lower the visor on my helmet before I leave.
What's up with?
That just feels like such a personal thing to say. I've already used so much of my spellcasting ability today. Like,
very vulnerable.
Very vulnerable. Kind of, I don't know. There's a certain squick factor there. Like,
I mean, this person does cast spells for a living, so.
Well, sure.
And you know that slots.
Sure.
Does he ever?
Oh, no. All right. So, Eldrago goes clanking off towards the Warrens.
Yes. Clank, clank, clank.
OG Vaughn, you wanted to make glue.
Yeah.
You wanted to make a lot of glue.
A whole lot of glue. Probably some other stuff.
What is your master plan for mass glue production?
Well, the beer around here started to suck anyway.
What?
No, it did. When? It cannot. Canonically, it did. Because,
oh, it did?
Yeah. Because,
because we were down in the clouds.
Yeah, because right? We're down in the clouds.
And so we lost, like, a lot of our supply.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, they wanted to make a lot of beer very fast because everything sucks, so everyone just wants to drink all the time.
Yeah. Okay.
And so the beer quality has gone down for that reason.
It's good quality of those kinds of brews, but you don't have your fancy artisanal beers that take a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. I imagine our mortgage is getting paid off a little quicker than usual. So
I don't know. We're all passing around that same 10 gold piece coin.
Yeah. So yeah, we're just concocting. We're concocting like crazy down here. Filling up all of the vessels with stuff.
All right. I'm going to have you make two different intelligence checks. The first one is to just figure out how to mass produce glue beyond what you would normally make.
Oh, scaling. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Can I int check for scaling? Well, that's 16.
Okay. You are mostly going to be spending your normal slots for this. You're not able to figure out like a super efficient way to make it so other people can also make your alchemical brew or your alchemical glue without being trained. Like, you haven't gotten it down to a manufacturing level. So your glue is still far stickier than the average stuff. You need a lot less of it, but it's harder to make still. The second intelligence check is for figuring how to do this in anywhere near an economical fashion.
Okay, well, that would be a 22.
Okay. You managed to not destroy any of your equipment during your glue-making adventures, and you managed to keep it to what it would normally cost to make these items. So glue is pretty low level, so it's not expensive to make to begin with, but you don't run into any issues with, why is this one person buying all of these bottles? Other people need these bottles. Supply, demand, etc. So how much time is Vaughn spending making glue? Is this all day and all night? Is this just one really weird week?
How much do you need?
It sounded like he was going to try to sell it to the whole arc, so.
Yeah, I imagine it's going to, like, really help.
For crash support.
Yeah.
Sticking all your statuettes to the shelves so they don't fall off.
Yeah, Demolition Man style.
Well, and to that end, it actually makes sense to be making foam, too.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
We remember that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're probably not 100% to the glue, probably part to the foam, and he's got some new stuff that he's also been working on since the level up episode.
Yes.
So
that reminds me, I meant to have you guys say real quick what you got from leveling up at the start of this episode.
Oh God.
Well, we didn't.
Yes.
That got launched out of the cannon that we were talking about suddenly being back in.
Speaking of, Vaughn's got a cannon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird, given that black powder doesn't exist, but, you know, he figured it out. He just made his own explosives.
Yeah, there's like half of the crates around here labeled Acme.
Yeah. We'll go over to the beginning of the next one, dear listener, but just know that there are new spells, there's new HP, and it's all very exciting. All right, so you start making a whole bunch of stuff. At about a week into this, Lucky comes down into the lab late one night as you're going cross-eyed, trying to pour just the right amount of glue stuff together and being reasonably certain it's not the foam ingredients and that when you mix them together, they won't catch on fire.
Yeah, glue fire. That's... we don't take glue fires lightly around here.
Sitting there being like, was it the blue or the red vial that I was keeping the foam stuff in? Bond?
Mm.
When did you, like, sleep last?
Sleep?
You know, were you sleeping in bed and not just because a bunch of fumes escaped and you fell unconscious?
I did a bunch of that.
Yeah, no, that's the bad version.
Right. It's effective.
Are you saying how I go to sleep every night is the bad version?
speaking as the person who sleeps next to you, yes.
We're all going to drive past the voices from the void.
God, I wish I had easy access to ether.
I don't.
But yeah, so Vaughn's like, you need to go to bed and do that.
All right.
Ideally.
Okay.
Hey, it occurs to me from a conversation I definitely overheard at some point. Were you going to talk to Green about stuff?
So like, yeah, like, you know, definitely later.
I don't believe you, but I'm more concerned with your immediate well-being. All right. Lucky starts dragging you off to bed. You briefly spot the late night crew of the Fermenting Fox. Where it's more crowded than it used to be late at night, but no one seems to be having the best time ever. Trivia night has fallen flat yet again. And that's the biggest tragedy of all. All right. You get some real sleep. It's very exciting. I assume you go back to grinding yourself to dust the next day, but...
He doesn't have any weird dreams, does he?
Well, now that you ask...
You know, like, how he used to?
Well, now that you ask... Vaughn, roll a d10.
Yeah. Three.
So, Vons.
Oh.
You've enjoyed the lovely experience of many dreamless nights over the past several months, followed occasionally by dreams that seemed weirdly themed around holidays. Consistently. But whatever. Those are fine.
I have been craving a pumpkin spice latte. I don't even know what a latte is.
God, I want one now, and it's March. That's bad.
I would go for one, too. But fuck. This is sadly not a dream of lattes. This is a dream where you hear the ocean.
Oh.
You find yourself next to a fireplace, well, a campfire, in a small hollow, high up on some cliffs above the ocean. You remember this place. It's where you escaped from a corrupted creature that was chasing you last time you had one of these dreams.
Yeah, that dream sucked.
Well, welcome back.
Okay, this dream sucks. Not excited about being chased by a mysterious shadow thing, but I know. He's gonna go up to the spot because it was like similar to that place on the ground where he where they set up like a secret base or found a secret base. There was a hatch.
It was similar to the area where he found the Jenkins's secret base. Yes.
Yes, we're gonna go look for the hatch.
All right, you gotta look for the hatch.
This is nothing like Lost.
Make a wisdom check to navigate your dream.
Okay. There it is. Okay. Ooh, 17 on the die. That's gotta be good news. I think that works out to be 29. No, wait.
That's pretty damn 28. Good. That's still pretty damn good, especially considering that it's not a prime for you. So, you do find the hatch. It looks a little different than you remember, but dreams be dreaming. And you can go inside if you want. The rest of this area is bare rock, stormy skies, and trees. So, you know, it's the most welcoming thing near here.
As excited as I am about dirt. Yeah, let's get inside the hatch thing before that thing finds us.
All right. You open the hatch and you hop inside. You find yourself in the mountains, notably not the interior of the base run by the various Jenkinses over the years.
So in the mountains, but not in the mountains.
Correct. You're at the end of a long, narrow valley with high mountains on either side. And far off in the distance in front of you is a giant fucking hole. As if the hand of a god reached down and just tore up a giant chunk of the earth.
Huh.
Like the bottom is earth?
Give me a sense of scale here. So it sounds like I'm in a bit of a... Is this more of a furrow or is it like a valley or...
Oh, this is a capital V valley. You're basically on the high point of the far end from the giant hole in the ground. And by giant hole in the ground, I mean, think over a mile across, probably a couple miles across.
Cool.
And at least a mile deep. From what you can guess, it's a little hard to tell from here, but...
And does it literally look like it was ripped out of the ground or does it look more like a sinkhole situation?
It looks... kind of both. There's a lot of jagged rock for a sinkhole, and you can see that there's a number of what look like to be, it's hard to see from this distance, but you see water running into it. You think you see the entrances to the caves and various subterranean things, but this doesn't have the same kind of like everything has slumped toward this in a semi-smooth fashion as a sinkhole might. Yeah. And it's certainly not like a giant vertical, you know, super sinkhole thing where it's just like a giant shaft.
Okay, so sort of a hellmouth. Gross.
A little bit.
Any living activity?
Not that you can see from here, but you are probably a couple mile. You're probably at least like 2 miles away from it and up quite a bit. So you can head towards it, but from here it's you can see it because it is so large. Details are not available to you.
Right. So anything else around me before I decide to investigate closer?
Make an intelligence check to carefully scan your surroundings before leaving.
Well, that's a 16.
Not bad.
Not bad.
All right. You keep it together enough in your dream state to think to look around and look carefully. You see that there's a small creek nearby and what looks to be a small stone. Hut's not quite the right word. Very simple building, but a little more rectangular than I think of huts being, with an open doorway that is like next to the creek, but the back end appears to go into it a little bit. You can't see inside from here due to the shadows, but it's there.
Huh. Well, a hut is a structure. Those are intentional. That hole over there, that could just be a hole. Let's check out the hut real quick.
All right. You got to check out the hut. It is pretty bare inside. It looks like the river or the creek might have been used, or this might have been used to store things partially or submerged in the water to keep them cold, would be your best guess. The hut is made of thick stone, so kind of backs it up too. However, you do find in there some broken pieces of pottery, but more importantly, a stick.
People just fancy stick. Leaving their pottery lying around, figuring, oh, nature will take care of it.
But you do also find a fancy stick.
I like a fancy stick.
Yeah. It still has the bark on it, but it is in extremely good condition for something that has been on the ground for presumably this long. It doesn't look like it's rotted in any way. And it doesn't look shiny per se, but it looks vibrant.
Like it was drawn on a different animation cell and is therefore gonna get interacted with.
Yeah, I thought about that way till just now, but yeah, kinda.
Gotta, shaders. You know, yeah, you gotta learn from those Hanna-Barbera cartoons, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Yes.
So this thing either opens up a secret passageway or just like winds up being held by a character at some point. That's great. Neat. Let's go. Let's go check out the stick.
All right. You walk, you know, whole foot over there and squat down and pick up the stick. It's a damn nice stick. Make an intelligence check. Try to figure out anything else about the stick.
Ooh. Okay. That turns into a 20.
All right. You are not a wizard, not an illusionist. You're pretty sure this stick is a thing of an arcane, magical nature. It sadly did not come with an instruction manual, but, you know, if you experiment around with these things or do research or just, you know, wish really hard upon a star, you can probably figure out how this thing works.
Well, we're in a dream anyway. So yeah, how about as we start walking over to the giant crater, actually, before we do quite that, gonna investigate the nature of the hut a little bit more, just a little bit more. Want to know, like, what kind of hands made this? What, like, it's here for reasons of being close to water?
Yeah, it looks like it was being used as a, there's an actual word for this. It's not cold box. Basically, put
like a cold storage kind of a space.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That would be your best guess. Or this may have been part of some settlement nearby. But you can roll intelligence check, try to figure some of that out.
Yeah, I'll just check that real quick, see if I can figure out what local civilization must have been up to. That also comes out to a 20.
All right. You give it a close look. This was built of, looks like stones that were found and placed so that they lock together. Again, there's a term for this, and I cannot remember it.
There is.
Cold storage is apparently now a crypto term. So looking up cold storage on a search engine is garbage.
Oh,
I love the like future.
It's great. I was also trying to think of the term for like some of the really old walls in Great Britain, like the fences that are built of just stacking stones together.
Yeah.
And there's not mortar involved.
Or like, all of those Incan ruins and everything, how they're made of stones that are just
stone.
Really tight together. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like this is made of that, and a good twist of luck for the architecture. There's a good bit of erosion, but it appears to have mostly just kind of helped everything merge together a little bit. Even the roof is actually just someone found a giant, relatively flat piece of stone and hefted it up on there. It's in remarkably good condition, probably due to the materials. Looking around, you don't see much evidence of anything else nearby. The construction does strike you as something more likely to be, especially if you are on the same like continent you started on, it's more likely to be humans or elves, but could be dwarves as well, although they tend to carve things and do this a little more intricately. Looking around where you are too, you also think this might be something that hunters would have been using.
Huh. So this would have been a distance from the main civilization area anyway.
Yeah. And I think looking around, you do find eventually like some stones that are in a circle that have been mostly been covered by dirt. But your guess would be that this used to be like a spot where people would camp while they were hunting and or store things here and come back for them later when they were ready to head back to their settlement proper.
Sure, a fire pit situation. All right, well, as he leaves the storage unit, he's going to check along the horizon, see if he finds any sign of a village or anything like that, or even where one might have been.
All right.
I'm just going to roll.
This is a wisdom check.
Yeah. 14 on that die, so that's a 26. Oh, wait, no, 25.
Okay, so searching around and looking around. So, again, there's two large mountains rising to either side of this valley, and then there's the giant Hellmouth hole thing at the end. And then there's deep woods kind of behind you, away from the valley itself. The deep woods appear to be blocking any view you might have had of something going that way. That said, with that look and with some squinting, you think you see the remains of walls right in front of the giant pit in the ground.
Yeah, see, that's what I was afraid of. So, hypothesis, somebody had a great village here, or some kind of a village here, and now it's smushed or something landed on it or in it. Or maybe that great big pit thing, maybe the village was there and it lifted out of the ground. Maybe this is like ancient arcs, but not my arcs, some other arcs, some lesser arcs.
The alternate costume arcs that's blue instead of red.
Yeah, the palette swap arcs.
We did talk about at one point finding the origin.
Yeah, we're gonna.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it could have been our arcs, I suppose. If this So the valley, that doesn't show signs of, like, having been knocked out by a moving mass. That's just...
No, the valley looks natural.
That's just natural valley. The one chunk that's taken out. I guess we'll get closer to that. Maybe that tells the rest of the story, but these bits of wall that have gone missing. I imagine as I get closer, those more and more resemble the stonework of the little hut down there.
It's a bit of a mix as you get closer. It looks like a lot of these were like a mixture of a couple different things. You would guess that some of these used to be tall wood walls that have mostly, you know, started collapsing into, or are pretty fully collapsed and covered with moss and lichen and plants, as happy as any of those get down on the surface. But there are also large wooden walls as well, although these are mostly masonry. So they're bricks, they're fitted together. They look, it's a little hard to tell under all the weather damage, but they look like they took some hits. There's definitely places where chunks are missing in an impact-esque fashion.
Okay, so something, yeah.
And the walls do go up right to the edge of the pit, and actually you can see the collapsed remains of some of them just inside the lip.
Ooh. So looking down, I don't see... like, towards the opposite side of the pit or anything, I don't see signs that this was a giant impact, do I?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking into the pit, you don't see any signs of a squashed village. I should also say that the walls you encountered did not bridge the entire valley. It's like someone made a big semicircle out in front of a chunk of the now pit of walls.
Yeah, just kind of covering the walking path areas.
Yeah, your best would... guess would be there was a gate or a road or something like that here.
Yeah.
That it was shielding. But the interior looks to be natural and it looks to be overgrown. Whatever happened here happened a good damn long while ago.
Like probably like 500, 600 years.
What a bizarrely specific idea. Where could you have gotten that from?
I don't know. It just came to me like a dream.
Do I happen to see the remains of roads or signposts or anything along the way to this place?
Make one more wisdom check.
Ooh, that's a pretty good one. That would put me at 28. No, 27.
That's pretty damn good. All right, you found what you believed to be the remains of a road. It's not the best road, if that makes sense. It looks like this maybe was not... Well, it was built in the middle of the woods. There's only so much you can do.
Okay, yeah.
But, Yeah, you find the remains of a road, you do find... Yeah, actually. So you take some time to explore the walls themselves and looking for, you know, signage or anything like that. And you find a couple of like kind of guard tower, guardhousey things where stuff has been kept slightly more intact, as well as some of the carvings above it. And I need you to make an intelligence check.
Okay. All right. That would be 18.
You realize that the writing you found above one of the gates is in Elvish. And I don't think you know Elvish.
Nope, doesn't know Elvish, but he would recognize something in a pattern if he'd seen the word enough, I imagine. Because it, like, he lives, like, the Arx is Elvish founded.
Yeah.
So if it happened to say Arx Multimus or something like that, or whatever.
It doesn't quite say that, but you do recognize the words for fort and mountain, or fortress and mountain. And yeah, the Arx is something of a nickname for the place at this point. So it looks a lot to you like some of the historical names the Arx went by. So your guess is, yeah, that would be what this is.
Yeah, I think I saw those scribbles in a library once.
Yeah, when you were doing your learnings.
Yeah. Well, this is pretty cool, like, archaeologically. Yeah, he's just walking along, swinging his stick, and, you know.
Archaeologically?
Yeah, archaeologically. Yeah. Oh, that's the name of the episode right there, archaeology.
Yeah. All right, so you walk along, you swing your stick, you're going to go explore the pit, right?
Yeah, I got to explore the pit, just going to, you know, walking along like a kid pretending he's got a sword.
As you mosey along, like a kid pretending, you know, you have a sword, you take a good swing, you accidentally hit a rock with a stick, and you wake up.
Well, that'll do it.
The stick has sadly not followed you out of the dream.
Eh, it was a neat stick.
It was, but all right. And you feel so refreshed, you can make so much glue now.
Oh, nice. And dry, did he, like, stay dry through the night? Just hasn't wet himself damp or anything?
No, not like that. You feel a little like there might have been a forest mist on your fur, but it dries off quickly.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think the last time he woke up, it was...
very, very wet.
Yes. Yeah.
Like he'd been rained on or submerged in water or both.
Or,
yeah.
Yeah, just hasn't quite figured out how to, like, know that he needs to use the bathroom in a dream yet. That could have been just that. We don't know.
Let's never find that out.
I would never take away your player agency to destroy your own dignity as a character. All right. But yeah, you wake back up. Jesse.
Hello.
I have an important question for you as you pack your family up to leave everything they've ever known to go live in a valley and keep bees.
Uh-huh.
Which is still a very good tactical decision. Who's going with them? Is it just them?
It's them. There's going to be a space for Harper. Squirrelo said he wanted his pupil, his student, his person, key tutors to also maybe go. I'm gonna say also any of the beekeepers who want to go are welcome so that they can teach us how to keep bees.
Okay.
I put out just of the people we know, I say we're going to the valley. If you would like to come with, you are welcome. It'll be hard work, probably harder than currently we have here, but it's the valley and not here while this place is landing. So I think we had discussed that part of the thing that Squirrela was going to do was make a magic circle in my apartments to connect to the valley.
I don't think you determined exactly where it was going to be, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
Certainly a private area.
It's a private area.
Okay.
I okay it with the Temple of Xandra, obviously, first.
Do you give them an explanation of where it's going? Because I can't remember how much you've actually said about the valley to anyone.
I will privately tell the Temple of Xandra people what's up with the valley and offer that if they want to come to the valley, they can, but it's not like an open invitation for everyone.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Okay. they will consider this.
Sure.
You get the vibe they would probably feel weird abandoning their flock, so to speak. But,
sure.
But it's good to know it's there.
Yeah, mostly I'm like, I mean, I didn't want to just like make a portal to like the place so that, and like have people coming and going and like have you guys not know like how there's so many people living in our apartment.
Oh yeah, we appreciate that. It's not strictly against your lease to have magical portal, but you know, it's polite to let us know.
Yeah.
You have to pay magical portal rent. it's only $15 a month.
Oh, like pet rent. Thing. Yeah.
But I have an important question for you. So, to all the people at Temple of Xandra, you've told your general group of people that you know.
Uh-huh.
None of those people are beekeepers.
Yeah, that's why I said I was going to invite the
Yeah, the so how do you pitch this to the beekeepers, and how do you go about approaching them?
I am like, okay, so, like, I know that you guys had, like, a whole, you know, contract or whatever with... Aerisine, was it? And Wealthy, and like both of them are like kind of out of commission now, for different reasons. One of them's dead, and the other's just like indisposed, doing shit. and like, so like. You know how, like, the whole place is gonna, like, land? Because we were gonna tell everybody, like, they're all gonna vote on that.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I'm just, like, reminding, I'm not, like, giving away confidential information here, like.
No, everyone knows you're gonna land.
Everyone knows.
At some point.
No, appreciate the reminder, though.
Yeah.
At some point, Grix is gonna have to pitch the Greater Arcs Council. On the landing plan, but that is not today.
Future episode, Mr. Grix goes to Washington.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, like, here's the thing. Like, you guys are, like, really, like, gonna be in, like, a weirdly, like, probably kind of a vulnerable position anyway. So, like, you should come to the valley. There's, like, hella, you know, plants, and, like, the bees will be, like, super happy, and, like, you know, it can make like a lot of honey. And like, if you're capitalist, like you probably will want to sell it. But like, you know, because of the contract, like you're supposed to give some of it to us. And we did find some bees like already in the valley. So like, you know, that's just more bees for you, probably. Like you just get those bees. And then eventually we'll be able to cure the corruption because, you know, bees. Am I like making sense? Because you're just sort of staring at me like I'm not making sentences.
Well, hi, I'm Laura. I work here. And
hey, Laura.
So what valley?
It's a valley that is magically not in the shadow. The shadow corruption can't find it. Well, I guess they could find it, but they can't get in because it's all sunshine. There's fake sunshine, but it works perfectly, and it's like lush and beautiful and yeah, it's like really pretty and everything's alive. And there's bees.
By saying. Our fake sunshine works perfectly and everything's alive. And that's still so much confidence.
This is Jesse.
It sounds like a Philip K. Dick novel.
Huh? Jesse, make a charisma check.
Yeah, I thought you'd say that.
Jesse lives in a Philip K. Dick novel.
I don't think that's true, and I don't even know what that means.
The way she explains things, man.
You have a lens that can see around the curve of the universe.
Okay, that's a 23, not a prime.
Everyone you've assembled, which is not a huge group of people that work there, but you know, like five people, look at each other. And Laura says, "We'll go check it out. Maybe she's, you know, crazy. Maybe she's not, but we did cut a deal to get any bees they found. Well, to get some. And our hive could really use it, so I'll go. And if I die, take vengeance on me, or take vengeance for me.
I like
the other people sort nod of, as if this is an expected thing that coworkers do for each other.
I sort of like survey the beekeepers. I could take like any of them, right?
Oh yeah. No, if they caught you by surprise and you were unarmed, like you might have a little bit of trouble, but yeah, you'd be fine.
Jesse like nods very solemnly and is like, I understand that I'm getting a shovel talk.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Finally, we get a shovel talk.
We did it, team.
We did it.
But yeah, all right. I'll, what do I pack to go to a magic valley?
Stuff to like, the sun, the fake sun is like real intense. So like, if you got fair skin, probably a hat. I'll give you a list, I guess.
Okay, sun hat, camping stuff, whatever's on your list. But yeah, okay, so just get me that list. I'll pack some stuff. I'll bring some beekeeping things. And does the valley have a lot of wood available?
The valley has like more wood than I've ever seen. And I'm a ranger, and like there's so much wood. Don't worry, there's so much wood. And my husband, Hank, is gonna come, and he's gonna like learn woodworking. He's a stone worker right now, but he's gonna be that close enough. What?
Does Hank know that?
Yes, Hank knows that. I talk to my spouses.
Nah, Jesse's gonna be like, good morning, everyone, walk into this room, and then shove them onto the teleportation circle.
Polyamory is basically a worker placement game.
I mean, that's almost no, not a joke.
A lot of people on this call can chime in on that.
That is not entirely wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Never hit Google Calendar, but I understand people would have. All right. Okay. You have your beekeeper. Parentheses one. And I'm even going to write down their name. So they'll come up one time in the next 2 years when you least expect it.
And you won't remember where you wrote it down.
No, sometimes I listen to old episodes and then pull bizarrely specific names out and you all get confused. All right. So you have your beekeeper. Word goes around your group. We'll see who takes you up on the offer of Secret Sunshine Valley. I will let you know right now that Harper is going to go back to her fleet for the moment because...
Yeah, but like she can come whenever. She knows how to get there. She's been there before.
Yeah.
I just think that she should have a nice place that she doesn't have to be in charge to like hang out and maybe, I don't know, be loved in a gentle way.
I'll take all of that under advisement.
Cool.
I'll definitely come and hang out.
Cool.
Assuming I can find someone who can teleport. Who I have access to so I can ask them.
Sure.
I'll figure it out.
Well, I'm sure that, like, Squirrelo will help whenever, whenever.
Yeah, I guess I have to figure out how to summon Squirrelo.
Oh, I feel like if we just, like, make a habit of, like, calling Gex every couple days, that'll be a great way to summon Squirrelo.
What?
Yeah, but how would Gex feel about that?
Oh, probably very used, but until he figures out how to not get summoned, it's okay. We'll just do a bunch of actings for him and he'll be happy.
Why him?
Because he can be summoned.
Because easily. He's free messaging. Because he's like a...
Except he has to get back.
He's like a free messaging app.
Bartholomew is right there.
We don't have rats between the valley and the ocean.
I mean, you give Bartholomew a couple berries, he'll be fine.
They're very different rats. I'm sure they exist.
They're called pigeons.
Yeah.
Are you thinking seagulls?
No, I'm thinking pigeons.
Okay. No, I feel like all of the pigeons and seagulls are corrupted. No?
Some of them are hiding up on the arcs. It's not a very stable population. All right.
Grix has a new agenda. Here.
I mean, yeah, we've learned lessons about birds.
Is Grix's agenda to get a pigeon?
Mm-hmm. A pigeon, Bartholomew.
They aren't covered by the Arx Multimus Migratory Bird Act, so you can't just take one.
Perfect.
Yeah. Sorry, imagining a Migratory Bird Act for the last bastion of uncorrupted creatures.
We need crossbow bolts.
Migrating too.
No. Yeah.
But all right. Okay. So Jesse, you figured out some honey stuff and you have the starts of plans. Okay. Last but not least for today, I'm actually going to start of the Grixen. I'm going to start with Steamboat Willie.
Okay.
Because, well, do you have a specific person that Grix Prime would like to, like, go talk to? I was given a pretty open-ended prompt here, so.
No, I'm a little bit rethinking it where I'll be, like, more canvassing and, like building support. Not just,
okay,
not just bar hopping, but, like, actually, you know, lending an effort. I didn't quite.
Glad handing.
Okay. Yeah.
Kissing babies.
Yeah.
Going all Mom Donnie.
You should vote for where I want us to land. It'll be the only option presented to you, but you know, you shouldn't vote it down.
Are we fighting for that?
They just have to officially approve it because you're landing the place everyone lives and it could be potentially dangerous.
Well, sure.
But it's going to land one way or another, so, you know.
Sure.
We can either land or we can crash.
That's
or
it.
Or we can propose some other worse strategy and have everyone vote for that.
It was a place dangerous enough to leave in the first place, right? Are you talking about putting it back down where it took off from?
Yes, that is where we've been talking about.
It is a place dangerous enough to have left in the first place. I don't know that it's gotten any better.
Well, that's because every place was dangerous enough. It's because of your potion juice that we hope to win.
Yeah, we'll just land back there and
potion juice is the term for the cure.
Yes.
It's the brand science name. Juice.
It's potion juice brand corruption cure. If someone else wants to create their own brand, they're allowed
They can name it whatever the fuck they want.
Whatever the fuck they want, but this one's potion juice brand.
The poster is just Vaughn's pointing at you going, drink my juice.
Yes, it is. For sure it is. Yes.
Really excited for someone to make a competing version called Fruitopia. At any rate... Okay, then we will start with Grix Prime, because that's a more discreet series of things to do. Where would you like to start your glad hand against fort building?
Oh, sure. Let's go for which would be the most public of the, or either public or populated of the bars that we go to.
If you're going for a sheer quantity of people, you probably want to go to the Wasted Worm.
Yeah.
Which you haven't been to in a hot second.
No, it's been a while.
It's the one you all got a drink at when you very first met.
Right.
And then you decided the Gwendolyn was cooler and the dumpster was even cooler, so you never went back.
Well, the dumpster has the roach nachos, so, you know.
Yes, the dumpster is small, relatively speaking, and the Gwendolyn is kind of medium-sized. The Wasted Worm is one of those places where you kind of wonder how the servers get everywhere in a reasonable amount of time.
Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's a crowded sports bar.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of packed just all the time.
And nobody's paying any attention to sports.
It helps there are no TVs in this setting.
Oh, God, a restaurant with no television.
The gladiator fights are currently under legal review after an accident. Yes, if you want to go somewhere you're more familiar with, Gwendolyn's a good choice. Wasted Worm will get you the highest quantity of people, but you also don't know anyone there particularly.
Okay.
So it might be harder to get leverage in.
All right, sure. I'll go to the Gwendolyn.
All right, you go to the Gwendolyn.
Woo!
Gwendolyn is a mid-size, mid-level of fanciness bar.
Just mid all around, but not in a bad mid
but
way.
But in a positive
but
way.
But a positive mid way.
Yeah, and outside is one gigantic minotaur leaning up against the wall, doing his best to be a bouncer. Which he's actually very good at, but the intimidation part, less so.
Sure, he's too cool.
Sure, that. Doesn't give big I am a cinnamon roll vibes at all times. Definitely not that.
Are you lying?
Yeah.
Hey, Grix, been a while.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. For listeners that do not remember names,
Photios.
This is Photios. Yeah. So what brings you to our part of town? Well, you live down here. What brings you to this particular institution?
Yeah, it's been a while. Sorry. There's been a lot going on, and I haven't checked in. I'm really sorry about everything.
Yeah, thanks. It wasn't, you know, it's not great, but yeah. Well, yeah, there's been a lot going on.
How are you doing? What's new for you?
One time anyone asked the NPCs about what the hell they're doing.
How are you feeling?
Short.
How are you dealing with the loss?
Hey, it's okay to cry.
Thank you for that comfort, man.
Hey, I'm here for
well,
you.
Well, you know, yeah, thanks. It's been tough, but also, you know, LLP to focus on. Have a bunch of weird people moving into my building to focus on. They've actually all been very nice, but yeah. I wasn't expecting my girlfriend's mother and her, until recently, extremely estranged grandfather to move in on the first floor. So that's been unique.
Yeah.
But Aramith is a surprisingly good babysitter, though, so.
That's great. I'm glad.
No, it's been good. It's been, things are weird, but okay. Kind of lots of weirdness in the positive and negative, and just sort of balancing out to not going insane neutral.
Okay. Hey, do you need to get away from all this? Do you like need to like we're going out there and tussling with stuff? Do you want to join in on that? But also, like, I get you have a daughter and maybe not. I've abandoned Grick's voice a long time ago.
Yeah. What kind of stuff are y'all tussling with these days?
Oh, well, we're about to try to land, which is in fact why I'm here. I'm trying to, you know, stump up some support.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing so people don't panic.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I should probably be out there helping with that, like when it happens, which is terrifying because I'm like at most a wrestler, not a soldier, but hey, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. all hands on deck. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to say to your constituents to make them feel better about this whole thing? You can start with me.
Yeah, I'll first buy everyone a drink, and then I'll talk about how we need to support each other and rally around this chance to save ourselves, to not be at the mercy of gravity.
Yeah, fight gravity.
Woo. I mean, kinda. A little.
Yeah.
Gravity regularly tries to kill one of your local halflings. Are you going to let it get away with that behavior? Well, okay, but how are we going to, like, survive down there? I mean, this place is pretty solid, but...
Well, we have a cure to the corruption. We have... And this has been all been announced, right?
I think it's getting there.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly. I mean, I guess you guys told the council you
we
were
told the council
on one, right?
Yeah. That we were working on a cure, that we had cured one corrupted... but I don't know. And like, Photios would have been in the group that we, like, told when we first got back.
Right.
We don't keep any secrets.
Sure.
Okay.
There's no such thing as a state secret.
We're allergic to secrets.
Yeah, we're allergic to secrets.
The council might be trying to manage expectations more than anything. Like, they're telling people, but they're also being like, this is experimental, and it's worked once.
Uh-huh.
And we need to verify that, and uh-huh. so on. But yeah, so,
Okay.
Okay, so we have a cure.
So we have a cure. We have, locations. We know of people who are surviving on the ground, who are, allies of ours, who have pledged their allegiance. One of them is just down the hallway there, getting drunk at another bar, I think. She owns a whole fleet of ships.
Damn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We were on them. It was great. There's big things in the water. I don't like the water. That's not my jam, but people are happy there. Other people are happy there.
I don't really like the water either. I don't swim very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is deep water. Like, deep.
Yeah, okay. So, I won't go on the boats.
Yeah, don't go on the boats. But other people go on the boats, and it's fine for them. They're happy there. This is not inspiring.
I'm letting you get it. Work through it ahead of time.
Thanks. Oh boy, I appreciate that.
Because, I mean, I trust you enough to know that you know what you're talking about and wouldn't do this if it was a dumb plan.
Thank you. Thank you.
Of course
or
not.
If there are any better plans.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
I got my speech.
All right. Okay, Grixie, head on in.
All right. I head on in and I ring the bell and drink round for the whole house.
Roll a charisma check.
Okay.
Add a d6 because you gave everyone alcohol.
Oh, God.
We call that a D6 pack.
Oh, God.
What'd you get, Wade?
I got an 18.
Total?
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
I guess.
Yeah, I guess if you're level 11, you had a D6 and you have a positive. Yeah,
it's,
okay.
It's more than 2/3 my level.
I feel the need to remind you. Not that you have to use it here. An 18's okay. It's not great, but it's okay. By virtue of remembering all the overseer's names, I did give you a free reroll. You could use it any time.
Oh, I did not mark that down at all.
So you could use that here if you want.
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
This seems like a pivotal moment.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. There we go. All right. That's 36. 19 on the D20. 19 on the D20, 5 on the D6.
Okay. Greg, do you have a slogan for your little campaign of we should all land and it's going to be cool? You don't have to. I'm trying to figure out what maybe a key line from your little speech you would have given would be.
Unfortunately, based on my mood right now, everything is coming out as a pun or just a silly joke, which is okay. Great.
Once again, the sun will shine on the arcs. Our gleaming city on a hill.
In a hill.
In a hill, yeah.
Come on down. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, you go around, you talk to everyone, you give your big speech after everyone's had a nice shot of some alarmingly strong stuff, given how low the supplies are, relatively speaking, running. You don't know where Esmeralda got it, but holy shit.
Hey, what does that set me back? Because I'm not doing great, but I should be fine.
You'll be fine for the price of alcohol. Okay. I'll figure it out for you. Right. I'm not sure. Cool. Off the top of my head. But yeah, but you go, you do some glad hunting, and you get people not only like accepting, you get people hyped up.
All right.
This is real like World War II Victory Garden, we're all in this together kind of shit. Uh-huh. Like,
you can go without sugar and butter and eggs.
Uh-huh. Right. There's going to be civic action. There's going to be posters of smiling children on them.
We'll make a big souffle to land on.
What?
Souffle of progress.
The sugar, butter, eggs.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But all right. So you, with that role, Jesus Christ, you get a strong head of steam because you've excited these people enough that they are going to go all tell their people about this.
All right.
And quite honestly, that works as well or better than any single speech. So you have some momentum. And
cool.
I'm gonna say that over the next day or two, I'm going to assume you're going to keep doing this, but you start noticing that the mood seems a little bit brighter on the arcs.
I'm going to make myself very...
a plan.
I'm going to do the strolling down the street, taking public office just as we walk.
Sipping on gin and juice.
Okay, but how many diners do you end up in?
Probably several.
Okay.
Each one is absolutely the best of their dish.
Of course.
Of any place I've ever been to. And you can...
You don't say that to all the diners.
Yeah, and you can stake my name on that.
None of them happen to make the same thing, but...
No.
That's just luck. Mm-hmm.
I have a card.
Yeah, you know.
I have a card in my pocket. I check it off.
Oh, shit. This place only serves dishes I've seen before.
Oh, no.
I better ask for something off menu. All right. But you start the campaign for, hey, maybe we're not all going to die.
Uh-huh.
Let's get hyped.
Uh-huh.
Hell yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And with that momentum going, that's where we will wrap the episode.
Yay.
Woo-hoo.
Hooray.
Primary Attribute has been imagined and brought to life by the people you've heard. For more information about the podcast, check out our website, primaryattribute.com. For questions, comments, and feedback, email us at letters@primaryattribute.com. To follow us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/primaryattributepod, on Twitter @primeattribute, and at primaryattribute.tumblr.com for all of our blazed posts. Castles and Crusades is published by Trollord Games. Our theme music was composed by Aaron. Our logo was designed by Adam. This week's editor was Ian, who is me. Thank you, me. Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next time to Primary Attribute.
Nope, that sounds bad.
Ooh.
Wait, no. Back up, back up, back up.